Well, good morning, everybody. So tonight, we're doing something we call Vespers. We do that one Sunday night a month, and that is a special service which we concentrate on scripture readings, prayers, and songs that all have a theme. Tonight's theme is prayer. So come tonight with a song or a scripture. Of course, that's the pattern set in 1 Corinthians 14. When we gather together, everyone should come with a song or a scripture or a prayer. And so we're going to do that tonight. Now, we've been talking about this little word if. We've been talking about it all month. We did the counterfactual, the what if. Then last week, the if of constant condescension, the if that mocks God. But today, I want to do the conditional if. If then is normally how we think of it. If this, then that. We're setting up some kind of condition. And in our scripture reading today, this comes before Jesus. He's at a point where some boy was not able to be healed by his 9 apostles that he had left on the bottom of the mountain. And the Father says to him, if you can, have pity on us. And Jesus says, if. All things are possible for somebody who believes. Now, sometimes Jesus faces if, but let me tell you a little secret. He says it way more than it's ever said to him. There are, I think if appears in the New Testament, depending on your translation, because sometimes it gets translated different ways, but the word is there some 550 times in the New Testament. Half of those are in the gospel, and 75% of those are from Jesus' mouth. He uses the little word if a lot. So if Jesus was fond of it, I want to just spend a few moments this morning talking about it. But clearly, we used to think of this as just conditional, and it is. But beyond just being conditional, it's more about the possibility. All things are possible for someone who believes. I want us to know this morning that although if can be used in the wrong way, Jesus uses it in the best sort of way, and it's certainly a word that we can use appropriately, and we should concentrate on that. Now, earlier in Jesus' ministry in Matthew chapter 8, a man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said to him, Lord, if you are willing, I know that you can make me clean. He didn't put the if on God's side. I know you're capable. It's just a matter of if you're willing. And Jesus says, I am willing, and heals the leper. Jesus was fond of saying if, and it was frequent that he heard it said to him. But when Jesus says if, it's never a matter of mocking somebody. And it's never a matter of what if thinking. It's always a matter of here is the possibility. And Jesus always puts the if on our side of the equation. All things are possible with God. The issue is not on God's side, the issue is on our side. If you can do this, God can certainly do the other. And the failure of possibility is never with God. But all I want us to know at this point is when Jesus uses if, he's bringing up a possibility for us. Now, I don't know how you would conceive of this diagram, for lack of a better word here. But if is not only a possibility for us, it's Jesus trying to give us a straight path. Usually when you see this kind of diagram here, it's the top line is the plan. You know, we always make this plan and we're going to go straight from point A to point B. And then there's the reality in the middle where we get, it's a little more twisted. Our reality never goes as well as our plan does, right? And then the bottom line is what really happens. It's even worse than our worst fears, right? That's normally when you see this kind of diagram, how it's used. But I want us to think about it from the man's perspective in Mark 9. He could have come and wanted to come straight to Jesus and have his son healed, but that's not the way it went. Gets off kilter, it gets off path. He's got to go through some hoops. And that's because, not because God let him down, but because other folks let him down. And then it gets even worse. Then he takes a bad situation and makes it worse and says "if" to Jesus in a way that he should have never said it. And Jesus is like, let's fix that problem first of all. It's not if I can, it's if you can, son. How much are you willing to believe for your son's healing? And thus the answer, I do believe, help my unbelief. So the man intended a straight path towards Jesus. It got a little off kilter because people let him down, but then it got really out of sorts when he started blaming God. And Jesus has to set that path straight again. But by the end of the story, the man does go from point A to point B, and his son is healed. And I'm sure at that moment in time, when his son is raised up off the ground, the father feels all the relief of a straightened path. He had had a hard life. Every time that the spirit came upon the boy, it had threatened to cast him into the fire or cast him into the water so that it might kill him. He had to keep constant alert. His life was hectic. And then Jesus comes in and straightens the path by healing the boy. And there's a big difference, or should be a big difference, in our life when we're walking with Jesus versus when we're not. And so as we sing this morning about trying to follow the steps of the Savior, what Jesus uses "if" for is Jesus uses "if" so we know we can have a straight path. We know what our possibilities are. We know what God can do for us. And it's up to us whether we walk that straight path or not. But sadly, what many of us choose is that bottom line. We will take the detour, boy. But Jesus says we can truly get from point A to point B in a straight line with God if we'll let him run the show. That's how he normally uses "if." Let me give you a bunch of them. John 7:37, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." You're here, you can come straight here and get exactly what you need. Or John 8:51, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." John 11:25, we brought up the verse 23 last week where Martha was saying, "Lord, if you had been here," Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Or again, Mary had come out and said the same thing in verse 32. "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus says to her in John 11:40, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And already what we're seeing in these few verses, and I'm going to do maybe a dozen or more yet, buckle up, but even in these few, not only is Jesus putting the "if" on our side of the equation, what he's telling us is that this "if," this little word, develops the depth of my faith, if I let it. Am I going to let Jesus give me a straight path because he's offering it? Or am I going to persist in walking and walking and walking and perhaps never getting anywhere? Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me," if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus is the master of many things, but he is definitely the master of walking the straight path. Mark chapter 9, the Bible tells us Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew where he was going, and he took that path. So Jesus says, if you want a straight path, you can follow me, but you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your own cross. And in Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions. Now, I tend to see this more as personal advice given to one individual. But look, the world's going to make you walk that twisted path, and the more things you have of the world, the more twisted your path is going to get. The more you're willing to give up the things of the world, the straighter your path is going to get. Because you're allowing God to fill in the possibilities. And with God, all things are possible. And for him who believes, all things are possible. And so Jesus is fond of using if not just to talk about the possibilities, but to talk about our path. And the possibilities always inform us of the best possible path before us. But he uses it another way. And this is the way that's going to be a little hard on us this morning. Last week we talked about how people used if against God. Well, Jesus, frankly, returns the favor, and he uses if against God's enemies quite often. Now, not in a condescending way. He's not poking fun at them, and I don't even think he's poking the bear, but he's letting them know. If you want to mock God, that's not going to go so well for you, son. I want to spend a few moments just looking at some of these verses. Because what we tend to do is we tend to do what that father did in Mark 9, and we tend to judge God in light of our difficulties. I brought my son to you. And instead, Jesus is saying we should judge our difficulties in light of God, which is a very different thing altogether. We see every twist and turn on the path as a setback. God sees it as an opportunity to decide again to pick up your cross and follow after him and have your path straightened. We see our hardships as dead ends. Lord, if you can, have pity on us. Oh, son, it's not if I can. It's if you'll accept it. Because everything's possible to him who believes. Jesus said in John 5:46 to these same scribes who were the problem in Mark 9, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For Moses wrote about me. He's talking to people who have no love lost towards God at all. They love their own power. They love their own position. They love their own money. And Jesus says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. Or again in John 8:19, so the Jews were saying to him, well, where is your father? Jesus answered, you don't know me or my father. If you did know me, you would know my father. Clearly, Jesus can use if right back at his enemies. Now, I would draw the distinction. He didn't choose them as enemies. They chose. But he's not backing down. You want to use if against me? I got a barrel full of it. I can give you some ifs right back. John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, well, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, then you should do the deeds of Abraham. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. From the human perspective, Abraham just wandered around on that twisted path. But not from God's perspective. God says, get up and start going, and I'll show you the land. I'm going to make your path straight. And Abraham trusted God. And the problem with these fellers, they don't want God directing their path. They don't want to pick up their cross. They don't want to deny themselves. So there's nothing straight about their life. And he's saying, if you think you're Abraham's children, you should live by faith like Abraham did, but you're not. Luke 16:31. But Jesus said to him, well, actually Moses said to him, if they do not listen to, I'll get this straight in a minute. Abraham said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus is telling the story about the rich man and Lazarus. So the Jews used if against Jesus, and he returned the favor. I can tell you don't know the Father, because if you knew the Father, you would follow me. I can tell you don't follow Moses or Abraham, because if you did, you would follow me. Jesus isn't mocking when he uses the word if, but he is warning them. You've got a choice to make. You can keep walking your own path, or you can follow in the path of the Savior. But it's a clear choice. So Jesus was fond of the word if. I want to read a poem to you. Most of you will know it. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust when all men doubt but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting, or if you can be lied about and yet don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. Don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph or disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you've given your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one return of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so be able to hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says, hold on. If you can talk with the crowds and yet keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. I never met Rudyard Kipling, obviously. But that's really close to the way Jesus uses the word if. If is up to you. It's not up to God. God can bring you through the hardship. God can bring you through success. God can bring you through failure. He's willing. He's able. The possibility is beyond there. It's a reality if you choose it. But to walk that straight path, you have some choices to make. And those choices all center around this little word if. There is a straight path. It's not easy. But it's not confused either. You might not like it, but it's there. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's one of those if verses that we hate, because it's just crystal clear. The path is straight, but boy, we don't like to choose it, do we? Here's one we quote all the time. Sometimes it just makes me chuckle. I'll quote it anyway. John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." You do not get a straighter path than that. If you love me, you will keep my commands. The if is not on God's side. He loves us. He has proven his love for us over and over again. The if is on us. And Jesus wants that to be clearly understood. Mark 4:23, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." John 8:31, "In the midst of arguing with his enemies, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples.'" John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Interestingly, in verse 8, there's this little tag on the end of it that hardly ever gets remembered or quoted. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." God wants us to be fruitful. The only question is not on God's side, it's on our side. Am I going to remain in the true vine? If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, and that will be to God's glory. And that's what God wants. Let me give you one not said by Jesus directly, but by a very close friend of his. Hebrews 3:7, "So the Holy Spirit says, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion.'" Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So, I have friends. I know that part will surprise you, but I do have friends. And some of them give me illustrations every once in a while. And I had a really close friend give me an excellent illustration that I'm going to use now. And you could actually, I actually Googled this earlier in the week. And I pulled up the exact video. There's like 10 of them, but I pulled up the one that was very close to the story as I heard it. So there was a tribesman in Africa, living in the part of Africa that is right on the borderline between the savanna and the desert. It's very arid, not a lot of water there. And his tribe needed water. And so being one of the older ones, he had seen this trick before. And so he told the tribe, "All we have to do is catch a baboon." They were kind of scorning him a little bit. "Catch a baboon, whatever." So the old man pulled out some shiny things out of his pocket along with a little food and kind of played with it out here like this. Well, of course, some baboon notices that. He pours it into the hole of a termite mound. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen these things in Africa. They found a termite mound last month that's 17,000 years old, still active, 17,000-year-old termite mound. I thought that was amazing. So anyway, he puts the food and that shiny stuff down in this hole and walks away and hides behind a tree. Well, sure enough, a baboon did see it. And a baboon came up, stuck his hand in that hole, and picked up the food and the shiny stuff. Well, the hole was big enough for his hand going in, but now that it's full of stuff, guess what he can't do? He can't get that hand back out of the hole. And in the video, the baboon is just going crazy trying to set itself free. But because it won't let go of what's in his hand, it can't get free. And the bushman just walks up to him and puts a rope around him. Now, in this particular video, the bushman grabs him by the wrist, which causes him to let go of everything, and then his hand comes right out. But there are some other videos of actual videos of the bushman really pulling this trick off. They bust out the dirt around the hole so that he can get his hand out. They let him keep the goodies, in other words. They tie him up the tree. They give him something loaded with salt. He eats that salt. They let him there a day or two. Now he's thirsty and tired, which is important because he can't run away fast. They untie him. Guess what that baboon heads straight for? The water. And then the tribe has water. You say, Phil, what does that have to do with if? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because a lot of us are trapped. Because we won't let go. And we won't let God give us a straight path. We're holding on to something. We can't get out of the world because we're just holding on to something. And Jesus says, if you let that stuff go, I can take you straight to living water. But we don't. We hold on to it. One last if. Matthew 18, I'll ask you to turn there if you don't mind. I've given you, I don't know, 17, 20 verses. This one I want you to see for yourself. Matthew chapter 18. By the way, most of chapter 18 is built around the word if, but I'm just going to pick out one of the stories. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 10. See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 upon the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he should find it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Just so, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should perish. The if isn't on God's side. He will find the sheep and he will rejoice if that sheep is willing to let go and come home with his master. The if is always on our side, friends. And Jesus used if a lot. And so this morning, quite likely, he is saying if to me and to you in some regard. But to each and every one of us, he is saying, if any man wants to follow after me, he must first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Are you walking in the footsteps of Jesus? The if is in front of you. You know God's vote. You know Satan's vote. What's yours? If is a big little word. And some will miss heaven because they do not answer it. What about you? If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.